Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and this is Alan Levy, and welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. I want to welcome you here tonight. If you're listening to this live on blogtalkradio.com or you're listening to this in an archive file, thank you for joining me tonight. We should have a very interesting show. We have a guest tonight is Karel Balloon, and he'll be joining us. He's written a book called Inside Facebook, very interesting book, and he'll be joining us in a couple of minutes. Well, thanks once again, and I just want to mention a few things to you. There's a few upcoming shows that I just want to alert everyone to and keep a lookout for, and then we'll get into our conversation about Facebook. The next show I have is on Monday, November 13th. It's a very special show. Mike Arrington, who's the founder of TechCrunch, will be my guest. He'll be here at 9 p.m. Eastern. You can catch his show live at blogtalkradio.com/TechCrunch. And we're going to talk about TechCrunch. We're going to talk about the event that he has planned, which we are actually attending, on Thursday night, November 16th, at a restaurant in New York City called Bed. And that should be good. And, you know, of course, TechCrunch, for those that don't know, and that's probably very few of you, it's one of the largest blogs, has 133,000 links to their blog, and Mike Arrington is the founder and does a great job with that. So that should be an interesting show. On Sunday night, November 19th, I've got a show of journalists. First, we have David Leeson. He's a photojournalist, and he's also now a blogger on does a show on Blog Talk Radio. And he's with senior editor of the Dallas News. And Joel Keller, who's a freelance journalist, and he writes for the New York Times, New Jersey Monthly, and many other magazines and publications. So they'll be joining me on this coming Sunday night. And finally, on November 29th, we've got Christine Ansbacher. I hope I pronounced that right, but I'll talk to her in the interim. And she is she has a website called thewinediva.com. And so she'll be joining us and learn about what's going on in terms of wines and so on. So very diverse set of hosts and guests, and very very excited to meet with them. But tonight, let's just talk a little about what we have planned. We have joining us is Karel Balloon, and he is a former engineer with Facebook. And those of you that don't know Facebook, once again, the one or two of you, it's a huge social networking site catering primarily to college students and high school students, and now they've broadened it and opened it up to the people in the workplace. So let's talk about that tonight and Facebook and Karel's new book, which I've read and I enjoyed it. And the phone number to call will be 347-677-0649, 347-677-0649. Karel, you there?
Yeah.
Hi, how are you?
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, my pleasure. My pleasure. Well, thank you for joining me on Blog Talk Radio. It's a pleasure. I know we've been talking about this now for a few weeks, and it's great to have you on air.
Yeah, I'm glad you are going to have Michael Arrington on. It's an interesting soliloquy, because he got this book kind of on the map in that he also liked it very much when he first read it. And he, did a story on it, and that was very helpful.
Oh, that is helpful. Yeah, anytime you're mentioned in TechCrunch blog, it does wonders for the traffic to your site.
I'm surprised you got him, because he's a very busy man.
Yeah, well, you know, he profiled Blog Talk Radio when we launched on August 1st, and we've been, you know, growing pretty rapidly and kind of making some waves. And you know, so we're just excited to have him on this live podcast, because this show, of course, will become a podcast. So that should be good. So hopefully you'll listen in. I'm going to enjoy talking to him.
I certainly will.
So let's talk about your book and Inside Facebook. And first, before we get going, where can our audience find this book, and if they like to purchase it?
One thing I decided to do was, before I put it out in hardback, I felt it was such a timely thing that I'd have it as an ebook first. And it's at fbbook.com, FB as in Facebook, fbbook.com. And I have samples up there. I have the book available for $12, $9 for students. And, we sold hundreds of copies, and it's
going
really well.
So let's get into it. So first of all, how did you get into Facebook? I mean, how did you, you know, where'd you find that position?
Right. It's really funny. It's a social networking site, right? And I had done some social networking on LinkedIn, which I guess the Facebook for our generation. It's more for professionals. So I was out there, I had my profile, and it turns out one of the early Facebook VPs came from LinkedIn, and he was doing some recruiting on the site and dropped me a line. I was totally going to ignore him because I hadn't heard of Facebook. And, you know, in Silicon Valley, we get a lot of different offers and stuff. So, turns out another friend of mine had been interviewing there, and he told me I shouldn't miss it, and I respect that friend, so I followed him up on it. I tell this story in the book much more eloquently than I speak.
And what was your position at Facebook?
Senior software engineer. I was the first one.
First one. And maybe you can give a little background into how Facebook. First of all, before you get there, how large of a member of a community is Facebook?
Wow, the site?
Yeah, how many members, roughly? You know, approximately.
So it's well over 10 million now. When I joined, it was in between the 2s and the 3 million. So it was already a big site, but the team running it was only about 10 people, maybe half engineers, maybe 15, if you really counted everybody who was even part-time. So it was just amazing to me that such a small group of people could be, you know, having such a huge impact on the lives of all these other millions of people. So that drew me in right away. The company now has exceeded 100 employees, but it's still, you know, still serves this huge audience. And I mean, some other social networks say that they have, you know, millions or tens of millions of members, but I don't think that it's the same level of active use that Facebook sees. I mean, with Facebook, you'll have more than half of members coming back every day. You know,
and how does that compare with MySpace, for example, which is, of course, the largest social networking site?
Right. I haven't seen the numbers, but I don't think it's as impactful. Because with Facebook, you know, you now have the feed, and you have actual information about your friends flowing to you on an active basis. So you have a social pressure to stay involved. You know, somebody will post something on Facebook, and then they'll say, oh, it's like you missed their call. It's like you didn't listen to your messages on the answering machine. So, whoever uses answering machines anymore.
Right.
On MySpace, it's much more about expressing yourself and just sort of looking and surfing. And I think people still do that on Facebook. You know, they'll be looking through the photos of all their friends and their friends' friends. But there's much more real communication happening. So it's like you've dropped off the planet if you're not on it for a couple of days.
I see.
And you'll have your friends asking, you know, what happened?
Now, in terms of developing the features that Facebook has today, how would you be as part of that process? Now, Mark Zuckerberg, before we get there, why don't we just tell our audience, you know, they may not know, but how Facebook was formed and
right.
how it was created and by whom?
It's really an amazing story. I mean, that's really the reason why I wrote the book. I was in Japan over the summer, and I had just a little bit of downtime while I was trying to figure out, you know, which of the many things that I could do now I would do next. And I always thought I'd write something, and I like writing. So I just started writing down about how Facebook started, and it sort of evolved into a whole book because the start of Facebook is really, I mean, you have a couple college dropouts with a few ideas, and they play with them, they explore them until they actually work, and then this whole huge thing takes off.
But before you go further, it's not just any college.
Well, it's Harvard, yeah.
Oh, no, Harvard, just a small little non-prestigious university in the northeast region of the United States.
But there wasn't anything specific to Harvard, you know, that got Mark Zuckerberg Zuck started. I mean, the thing that makes Harvard a good sort of microcosm of the effect is that it's a small, tight community. But there's an infinite number of those. And I wouldn't say that he was especially popular at Harvard. I mean, he was well-known at the school. But it was really the features of the product that took off. And I don't know if I read about this or not, but the site actually was first banned in an earlier edition at Harvard because it was sort of violating students' privacy.
Yeah, I think you did write about that, yeah.
Okay, and he had a problem with the administration, and they came back with a list of rules, you know, saying this is why the site doesn't work, and he got a kick out of, you know, designing a site that would still, you know, meet the requirements of Harvard. So I guess the fact that the administration was engaged and careful and that the student body was, you know, smart and active helped the site take off, but it was Zuck's confidence in his ability to do this and in his real desire to make a difference in people's lives, you know, and obviously he enjoyed taking credit for it, and he enjoys, you know, being the person that did that with the help of others. But, you know, that drive is in a lot of people. So I looked at the story of Facebook, and I thought, you know, there must be a lot of other people out there who have similar ideas, and I would really like to encourage people to go after them.
Now, yeah, I fully agree. And so he does it in Harvard. He starts getting, you know, what he had up to 40,000 profiles in Boston. I mean, how did it go? He went to Harvard, then he go to other schools in Cambridge, or how did it get to or other schools in Boston, or did it just spread to other universities throughout the country quite quickly?
It took a while, actually, because they weren't sure what they wanted to do with it. It was just at Harvard for a while.
I see.
And it pretty much penetrated Harvard within the first week.
Interesting.
Very fast.
We have a call, actually. Let's see who's here. It's someone calling in. If you don't mind, we'll take a call.
Sure.
Paul Allen.
Hello.
Steph, hi,
don't
Allen.
Swear. Don't swear.
Oh, Allen. Hi, guys.
Who's this?
Are you calling into my show now?
Yeah, who's this?
Oh, this is Allen, but we have another we have another call that we've got to take.
I don't need to, no, you need to take my call, please.
Okay, but anyway, we're talking about Facebook tonight.
Baseball?
No, Facebook.
Facebook.
Anyway, I'm sorry about that.
You have all kinds of fans.
I got a prank call on my own network. We have some crazy loons. They're doing another show on at the same time, the Baker Show. I don't know if you had a chance to listen to them.
No, I didn't see that.
They're quite funny, and they actually have something like 30,000 downloads a week of their show. So they're kind of the Howard Stern of Blog Talk Radio. Mm. I had a sense it was them. But anyway, so how did he get to other schools in the country?
So the students started requesting, you know, why can I only have friends at Harvard? I have friends all over the place. So they very selectively started adding them. And it was a concern. It was a concern that, you know, both from a systems perspective, how could they handle the huge matrix of friends, but also from sort of a cultural perspective of, on the one hand, they didn't want to stay elitist. They wanted to, as they always say, maximize the flow of information. But then, you know, they had the safe community. So that's when they decided that each school would be a community, and each school would actually be served as an independent site.
Fascinating. You know, I have a son who's 17, and he's on Facebook. So when did it go to the high schools?
Much later. That was already, I want to say, half a year or a year into the time I was there. They were protecting their college community. It was an exclusive all-college site, and it was seen very – there was a certain status of being on it, and opening it to high school students could have broken that culture.
Yeah.
But what they did was the same thing. They segregated it. You know, the high school student had their high school network. And even now, there's work networks, you know, where, like, if you're employed at a certain company, you can have a network for that company or – for geography. Everyone is isolated from every other one to protect the integrity and safety of those.
Yeah, it's cool. Amazingly ingenious.
Natural, really. And that's my idea, that I think a lot of people have really good ideas that if they just sort of stuck with them and, you know, found the help and did the simplest things first and focused on them. Because Facebook could have gotten distracted by a lot of things, but they stayed on that idea of enable flow of information between people, you know, protect that information, privacy. And they really, I think, I don't know if it's just Zuck or everything, but they really managed to stay on what their mission was.
I don't think it's just him. I think any successful company, you know, Microsoft focused on what they do best. Apple has focused on what they do best. I don't think it's...
Right.
it's a sign of success. It's a sign of people that don't get distracted, that can have a clear message for their employees and their other the other principals or their investors, and it's having an idea and having it and working through the plan and sticking with it. And it seems like he's done that now. But also your book, you kind of get into things where you're really encouraging others to kind of reach out and find their dreams, you know, or go after that idea and work it. Is that something that you're doing now after leaving Facebook?
Yeah, and I'm struggling with focus myself. I mean, I have a few pages in there on focus about how you shouldn't distract yourself, and I'm actually in a bunch of different things, so I'm certainly not following my own rules, and I should print that page and put it up on my wall.
That's right.
But yeah, I think I have several ideas. I'm trying to find the one, you know, to really attack.
Right. So Facebook, where do you see it going? I mean, do you think he's, you know, there's been a lot of talk about them being sold to Yahoo, and or does he just love doing this and he has no interest? What do you think?
I wrote an article on Mashable answering just that question recently. I think that for enough money, you know, they'd be bought, but I don't think $1 billion is enough. I don't even know that $2 billion is enough. Zuck is having a great time doing what he's doing. And for all the employees there, and many of them, this is their first job, and it's really their dream both company and sort of dream environment. So I think there's a lot of patience there as far as money goes.
Mm-hmm.
And they're building a successful business. I don't know if they're profitable at the moment, but they're
right.
built for profitability.
And how's it working I know I've worked in a fast growth environment, but this is clearly hyper growth, right? When you're kind of frantic and you have outages, the middle, you know, because we're a new company ourselves, and occasionally we have a little server blip, and it's boom, you know, we're frantic and running around, and you know, but this is bound to happen as you grow, right? And
it's very exciting there, and they've now hammered down their process to have a good ops team. So I don't know that they've had any site outages or site slowdowns, because after the Friendster debacle, I think they were really careful about that.
Right.
So they've done two things. They've massively staffed customer support and operations. So those are two areas where, you know, they're directly facing their audience, and they want to make sure that they're effective.
So they have operations that are, you know, customer service. I mean, that if you have a problem creating a group or setting something up, you can actually call someone and they'll answer it and resolve your matter.
It's email, but they're very attentive.
Yeah, I see. What else do you cover in the book?
Oh God, too much. I lose my focus.
You lose your focus. Well, that's what you got to say. You have to. Rely on your own rules on that regard. You're an engineer, so did you develop or come up with ideas on functionality that you could be kind of proud of, that you could say, hey, that was you, or was it just you were part of a large team and that's how it went?
I have my fingerprints all over it. But what I didn't do is I didn't specifically create like a core part of the site. Like photos was pretty much the baby of one person, as I document. I was involved, and the thing I'm most proud of is still under wraps, and I don't know when it's coming out, so I can't talk about it.
Okay.
But the book itself, I want to tell the Facebook story. I want to tell how it got done, and I go into, I think, great detail with the personalities and the people, because that's my contribution. That's what I saw. You know, I wanted to write a book after I really got into it about how people can be entrepreneurs, but I'm not an entrepreneur yet. I want to be one. So I don't have the experience in that, you know, as much as you do, for example.
Mm-hmm.
But I did see that story, so I wanted to get that all down. And based on that, I wanted to tell what type of attitude is important and what type of, you know, what you need to think and what you need to do. And I think that's the area where I'm going to be working more now, as far as building internet tools that help people sort of focus on their ideas and be more effective. I think that there's a lot of room for niche social networks, and you'll be seeing a lot of effective applications in this space from now. I'm also CTO at a company which is doing something in that space as well.
I see. So what do you think, so what did you take out of it as an entrepreneur? The ability for him to focus on what he was doing, the energy level, the commitment, what were the top three issues that you, I mean, if you step back and say, what was it that drove the success of Facebook and Zuckerberg or entrepreneur?
Number one, he knew his audience. He was his audience. And I think a lot of people in business want to create sites because they think that they're useful and they think that they'll have an audience. But especially in open source software, most of the great things are developed by people who have a problem and want to solve it for themselves, and then they find that there's a lot of other people with the same problem. So really, entrepreneurs should attack the idea, should attack the area that they are personally familiar with. I mean, you must like blog talk, you must like talk show radio, right?
Well, I do. I enjoy listening to talk shows. That's true.
Yeah, and doing them.
I actually enjoy doing them as well, yes. It's something I'd never done before, but I happen to enjoy that. And to me, it's the conversation. I think that if I have an engaging conversation with someone on the phone or online, then other people are going to find it engaging.
Right. So you're solving a problem that you are personally interested in.
Yes.
So the second step, then, is to limit yourself and not try to do either too much too early or too many different things. So I really advise people and myself to put out prototypes of things even before they're beautiful so that they can sort of get immediate feedback. The successful sites, even like eBay and Amazon, and I would say even Google and Yahoo, they started as much simpler incarnations of what they became, and the simple incarnations worked. So finding the really easy part of your idea and getting it out there fast, I think, is essential.
Sounds pretty good.
And then there's the operational areas of finding the right people and not blowing your money. You know, Facebook was never a high-budget operation. It was always, fiscally reasonable.
Right.
And, they didn't need $200 million of VC. And I think that's important. I think you want to find people who are passionate about the idea and at the same time practical about how to implement it. Yeah.
Well, it's not always easy to find that idea that's got that scale, you know, that grand idea, you know, and that's what some would-be entrepreneurs, I would guess, also kind of have to think about. You know, they can come up with a good idea, but is it scalable?
Yes. Can it really make meaning for people? And so Zuck always knew that he wanted to enable communication, which is a huge thing. Like, you know, are you going to replace email and IM with Facebooking someday? So it was a huge idea. And then he found the one small part of it and made it very successful. So I
right.
think we all sort of have these big dreams, but still can find the most simple area where even if just that happened, it would have meaning. Then there's something to build on. Guy Kawasaki calls that a beachhead.
I see. Hey, we have a call. Let's take it.
Hello.
Hi, you're on Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, good. Carol, I read your book.
Thanks.
And the one thing I loved about it in the beginning, you were just actually talking about it, is the low budget. And I was reading how you guys would pull your lawn chairs out onto the roof and take your laptops out and the wall behind somebody's desk. I think it was the wallpaper you talked about, correct?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was a really good book. I enjoyed it. But I like the grassroots feel of how you guys started out and how somebody had an idea and you all
What's
communicated via instant messenger and got things done.
Yeah, what's your name?
Julie.
Julie.
Right. But anyway, it was nice talking to you.
Yeah, well, Julie, thank you for calling. So, Julie, you like the idea of going up, having be able to work on the roof in the sun and with your laptop and little pina colada maybe in the evening.
Yeah, I don't think you'll catch me on any roof, but.
The roofs, Carol, the roofs must not have been that high over there. Those were pretty small buildings, right?
It's a funny story. We had to climb out of a window to get up there.
Yeah. Well, you guys all were in one room together and all crowded around one table. And
well, no wonder why you had to go on the roof.
Well,
you had to get
important.
Some some fresh air from all of you guys in one room.
But being in there tight together really made for a good, you know, tight community to get things going fast.
Yeah, exactly.
And then having the blow-off space and the sort of light attitude, you know, the Xbox or whatever it was in the room also for those late nights.
Julie, have you been on Facebook?
Yes, I have.
And how do you like it?
It's interesting. It's a nice atmosphere. There's not a lot of rigmarole and garbage going on over there. It's very focused.
How does it compare to MySpace? Because you must be on that too, right?
Yeah, I think they're two different animals, to tell you the truth. They really do. I think they have two different feels to them. Facebook is a lot more focused in its endeavors as far as networking goes. MySpace is kind of out there. Everybody's all over the place, you know.
Yeah.
Facebook is very focused. Great place to network if you're looking for one general thing, you know.
Great. Well, thanks for calling, Julie.
Thank you.
All right, have a good
Carol.
Night.
Have a good night. Bye-bye.
Good night, Julie. Yeah, I really like what Julie brought up there. Facebook is a tool, whereas MySpace is like a way to express yourself, which I think Facebook has a big future there because the real value of Facebook is the data it has and the interrelationships.
Right.
As long as it's about communication, then people will stay there and people will build applications on it. MySpace is hugely powerful because of the network, but I don't think like it's almost like just a homepage for yourself that has, you know, some networking features. I think MySpace could be replaced much more easily than Facebook.
Oh, you do?
Because the way you replace Facebook is by getting everybody to go somewhere else. Because it's the interactivity that makes the value of the site. So that interactivity would have to move somewhere else, right?
Yes.
That's why it's so sticky. People would congregate at the place where most of the sort of discussion is, you know? And MySpace is much more sort of, it's more like broadcasting. You're showing your ideas. You're showing your personality, what's important to you. And, yeah, you can sort of link to other people.
Right. Oh, there's no question. And, you know, you have this every 4 years, or every year you're getting a whole new batch of people into the network. And I think what made tremendous sense is extending it now into the workforce because as Facebook matures, the core base is getting older and leaving college.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's quite fascinating And when did you leave Facebook?
It was just the summer.
I see.
Yeah.
So do you miss it?
I miss the energy, but then again, I've recreated the energy for myself. I took from Facebook what I think was most important to me, which was sort of the dream of youth. I'd been at a couple of failed companies and a couple of really big companies where you're just more or less a cog, and what Facebook reminded me was that, I mean, everybody at the startup is really important, and especially with young people, these college kids that built Facebook, there's big dreams there. And it reminded me that, you know, it's okay to dream. It's actually important to dream. So I took that away, and I think it's going to be harder to take that from me now.
Well, I'll tell you that, you know, when you're in college and you're a junior or you're in school and you work in an environment like Facebook and you're in this hugely successful enterprise and then you graduate and you come and you work there, that's not reality. You know, that's one of a million companies actually have that type of energy and success. And we're in a cycle now with Web 2.0 and all these companies emerging where we're where we were in the 90s in the initial dot-com boom. So a lot of vibrancy and people are getting jobs left and right, but, you know, it's cyclical and you still have to be hooked up with good ideas and so on. So, but it clearly, I think it's a great experience for you. And it's obviously you've presented in the book and I enjoyed reading it. And I your book is not actually done yet, right? It's still a work in process?
It's just about wrapped up. I'm doing some final copy editing, and it's going to be out in paperback sometime next year.
Okay.
But that was a good thing about it was fun doing it digital because I got a lot of interaction on it. In fact, you know, some of the early reader stories are in there, and that was exciting. I don't think it was like that when people were writing books 20 years ago.
No, I would imagine not.
Yeah, that was exciting.
Well, maybe when you you'll come back and do a reading on Blog Talk Radio at some point. You can join us. I think you'll be hearing more about us in the coming months.
I think so too, Alan, and that'll be fun.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Well, thanks for joining us, Carl.
Bye-bye.
Bye. That was Carell joining us from, he's written the book Inside Facebook. And Facebook is just an incredible, story. It really is. And I spent a lot of time on MySpace recently, and I've been spending a fair amount of time. I just started getting into Facebook because we want to do some things in terms of reaching out to certain networks. Because Blog Talk Radio is a platform that is perfect for others to engage and have conversations. So the rest of the show tonight, we're going to have an open-air chat, and we're going to just go over issues. People, we want everyone to call. I have my partner on the phone, Bob Charish. He's going to come on. Bob, you there?
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay.
Excellent. So we figured we would have kind of an open-air Thursday. We should do this every once in a while, and hopefully we'll have some people call in. We basically want to just get everyone's input. We're constantly getting emails and questions, and look, it's a new site, and we're making changes, and we have a lot of enhancements. So we thought it would be a good idea to get on online and get on the phone and see what you guys have to say. So if anyone would like to call, I'll give you the phone numbers again. It's 347-677-0649, 347-677-0649. So one of the rules that we have here, Bob, is that if anyone has a comment of good comment, you know, where they're really pleased with the service, they love it, please address those questions to me. If you have any problems or you have a real struggle with the service, Bob will take care of all those.
And we try to. I mean, it's actually a lot of fun, building this platform and going through this experience. And getting a lot of good feedback, from different hosts and listeners, on how to improve, whether it's through the website or functionality. I mean, it's really exciting. And, I know I'm not out there that much. I'm, as Alan could attest, a lot of times behind the scenes trying to get stuff, whether it's new features developed, get things implemented on the website, or, address issues that hosts actually bring to our attention.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I wouldn't, and if I don't have any people listening, and who knows, but as long as one is, and that's Bob, I could never do this without you, and you've done an unbelievable job here. You really have, someday maybe we'll write the book, or I'll write the book about Blog Talk Radio and the other stories that go on. And
You can write it, I'll read it, because as you know,
right.
Writing is
I'll
luck,
write
I'll
it,
say.
You can read it, but you'll be in it, and... Yeah. What we're creating here is such a unique platform, and Bob has done an amazing job. I mean, let's just talk a little about him.
Hold on, Alan. I got to, first of all, say thank you to you as well. I appreciate it. And, again, if like you said, if no one else is listening, I mean, the job you've done has been unbelievable as well, getting us out there, being out there, twice a week doing a show, talking, interviewing, guests from Pony Boy to Anatole, leaving. I mean, the breadth of, going from one spectrum to the next. Even Larry King, I don't know, covers
well,
that.
I got to tell you, I don't know if he can either, the diversity of hosts. So we have actually Amy's on the phone. We're going to bring Amy in now. And we're going to – Amy, you there?
Hey, Bob.
Hi, Amy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Here is the triumphant, the team that's working Blog Talk Radio, and Jamie Minton, who is preparing for her cruise. This is essentially...
Oh, she's going on a cruise, and she's not bringing us, eh?
Yeah, I know. So,
Bob, I actually have a question for you.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
If somebody, and I was going to email you about this, if somebody needs to schedule two shows in one day, is that possible for them to do? Say they come up with two interviews that they need to get done in one day.
We would have to deal with it on the back end. It's something that we restrict the hosts from doing. I mean, part of the challenge is that we have a limited. We have, I think right now it's 8 simultaneous streams,
mm-hmm.
So we can have 8 shows on at the same time, and we want to allow different hosts, to be on, and that's why we've limited hosts to one show, one show a day. Obviously we can always make an exceptions depending on the content and who the host is. But
I mean, if you have let's say, Donald Rumsfeld and the new defense secretary, we can definitely arrange.
Well, Rummy might want to be on because he probably
all right,
he's
not
going to
want any more exposure. That's
yeah.
right.
I have a feeling Rumsfeld's going to take a nice long nap. What do you think?
Yeah.
Well, you know, listen, I want to just mention something because Bob was talking about diversity of talent here and hosts.
Yes.
Amy's the program manager here for Blog Talk Radio. She's our first and program manager. She and I are quite a team. We work together on getting a lot of the talent in, and we're just, you know, it's amazing. The people coming here, and Amy knows too, I mean, people are starting to call us up for interviews. She's been on the phone with publicists. She's booked on this one show, Stage Left, until January now. We could book every night with people. But Amy, tell everybody about the Sasquatch show that I asked you about.
Well, Alan came up with the idea to do a show on Sasquatch. We have three Sasquatch hosts on Blog Talk Radio. It's the biggest Sasquatch network in the world, right? Yeah, and we're going to get them all three of them together to do a show. And it's going to be, I think we decided on the date, was it December 3rd or 4th? It was a Tuesday, I believe. So I think it's the 4th. But these three guys are going to be on the show together, and they're very competitive, the three of them against...
Well, I don't even know if they like each other.
One of them is like the head honcho.
Yeah,
and
he's the head best Sasquatch, Bigfoot.
Well, maybe as a team they can piece the puzzle together. I mean, it's...
You would think so. With the three of them, and, you know, it's quite a thing to be the largest Sasquatch platform there is in the world, probably, in terms of media outlet. And what really is interesting, because I keep seeing these Sasquatch shows in the guide, and I tell Bob, that duplicate, and you tell me, no, they're separate shows, you know. And one time I was reading, I checked the blog postings for Blog Talk Radio, and one of the guys post their shows on their blogs, and they're picked up on Google search in the blog search. It's amazing.
Yep. Sasquatch is a big thing. I got off the Blog Talk Radio one night, went upstairs, my husband was in his office, and he was watching a show on Sasquatch. It's a big thing, I guess.
Well, I'm interested to learn more about it. I have to say I'm a bit skeptical, but maybe they'll convince me. I figured if one couldn't convince me, maybe three could.
Yeah. Well, here's what I love about the diversity of Blog Talk Radio. You're dealing with Sasquatch 1 hour. You've got the unions the next hour. You've got the musicians the following hour. And then you got your politics the next hour. I mean, you and I deal with these people all day long.
Yeah.
And it's such a wide diversity, but...
And then you also have your authors and your poets.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's remarkable. I have to say, we're talking to the air traffic controllers on Monday.
Monday, yeah.
We've spoken to the largest unions in the world. It's quite fascinating. So... And I don't see... And, you know, the reason why it's going to continue is because it's just... People just... have a platform to talk, and whether you're one person or you're a person of a 10,000 person organization, it's here and it's available.
And the MySpace crowd it loves you. They love you for giving them a voice.
Yeah, that seems to be the feedback that we've gotten on the MySpace page. But we're going to have to figure something out because, you know, there's another show that just about ended now, The Bakers, the famous Baker show, the number one show, and He was struggling. The last show he did, he was just, you know, he was just cursing too much. So we kind of told him to tone it down. Mm-hmm. And so what happened, they had these guests in there, and I called into the show, and the ladies in the back, I guess, you know, they're drinking pretty nicely, and they're cursing up a storm. So everyone who says the F word has got to pay $5 or $10.
How much money did they come up with?
The F-bomb. It's very funny. But I was doing my show with Carell. I don't know, but I got a prank call from the Bakers, so I have to... do something about it. But
you had to expect it, though.
We sent an email out today about the about what's going on Blog Talk Radio. You were a host, right, Amy? You got an email from us, correct?
Correct.
So all the hosts on Blog Talk Radio received an email today, and I just want to go over a couple of the key things that we talk about in this message. And these messages are on the forum. They are there as site updates, and they're important. And one of the things that we're going to do is have a newsletter that we haven't put in here, but we're going to have a newsletter that's going to appear on our homepage. Well, we're going to start building listener profiles, because what's going on with the site is that the site is really going to be a real social networking environment.
That's great.
Yeah. So people will come on, they'll register, they'll put in their image, they'll be able to, when you have a show, you'll see who's listened to your show, you'll see the picture or the image of the person listening.
Really?
Yeah, we're going to do all kinds of cool stuff like that.
Wow.
So one of the things that we wanted to make sure people knew is that we have certain promotional tools on how to produce and market your show.
Yes.
Right? You get that question a lot, right, Amy?
I do. The buttons are fabulous.
Yeah. The buttons are really a key thing, and it's we haven't made them a requirement, but I think we may down the road do that, because the only way that people, that your audience are going to know that this show's here, not the only way. Of course, if they come to Blog Talk Radio, they can see it on air. But as we grow and build, it's going to take us some time. But you've got a built-in audience if you're if you're a blogger. Put that button on your page. Mm-hmm. And we have a selection of different buttons. And put the button on. Let them click. Your audience can click and get right to your host channel. They could see, they can listen to your show live and see when the archive is.
Now, the people who are successful on Blog Talk Radio are marketing their shows with those buttons. They're sending out bulletins, they're sending out emails, they're blogging about it. They're using every form and avenue that they can with those buttons to network their shows, and they're landing in the top 10.
Yes.
I mean, I think two other things that they're actually doing, and we're trying to make it easier for hosts to do, is get their listeners to actually input their RSS feeds, whether, you know, they're using Yahoo or Google, or in fact now with the new Internet Explorer or with Firefox, you can have the RSS feeds go straight into your browser. But one of the things we did a little over a week ago was we added to subscribe to iTunes. And the way it works right now is if, you know, the listener has iTunes on their computer, so when they subscribe, it subscribes it to the local iTunes on their computer. But what we're trying to do is to get the host, and it was one of the points in our email today, to actually sign up with iTunes Store as a podcaster and submit their feed to iTunes Store. And then what happens is iTunes themselves pulls the feed from us, and then anyone who comes to iTunes and searches on your, you know, genre or subject or anything along those lines will find your podcast. And, you know,
so
information
would... The host has to register with iTunes as a podcaster.
Right. The host would have to register with iTunes, have an iTunes account, and then they add their RSS feed.
That's good to know. Okay.
And what it does, and what we've seen, you know, from a lot of other podcasters, is it really drives up your listenership, because people go to iTunes looking for all types of things. It's the largest podcast directory that's out there.
Right.
And then they start finding your shows, and it actually drives up, you know, your listenership. The other thing we're trying to do is, obviously, the more, you know, listeners and more people we have, you know, downloading our shows, our content from iTunes, makes us more visible in iTunes themselves. So we'll just, you know, end up driving more people to the site and more listeners for everyone. So, in fact, one thing I wanted to mention to you, Alan, that, you know, we sent out the email today about signing up with iTunes, and I already received a couple emails from hosts saying they signed up and opened up iTunes accounts.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's huge. I mean, when if we could get in the, if hopefully the larger hosts, the larger, we'll reach out. You probably, Bob, want to reach out to them directly.
Right.
The largest top 10, 20 shows, you know, and really make sure that they do it. Because if we're as Bob said, if we're a featured provider on the left side of that iTunes store, you know, we're going to be the there's no doubt in my mind that Blog Talk Radio is going to be the largest podcasting platform in the world. In terms of creating content.
Absolutely.
There's no question.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're going to be the largest radio platform in the world, talk radio. There's no question about that. We're going to be the largest podcasting platform because of the ease of use, the ability to pick up a phone and you know, and do a show. You don't need equipment. You don't need downloads. So this iTunes thing is quite important, and we've been working hard on getting that. And the other thing is, I mean, it's the easiest thing. We've done a good job in dumbing down the site. I think, you know, it's even my I'm not saying my father-in-law is dumb. I hope my wife, I know she's probably not listening anyway. Grey's Anatomy's on right now, so I can say this. But he doesn't understand computers. He barely can get on Google. And I took him through our website. He's like, well, I get it. You know, he understood it. So, but you go onto a host channel to anyone, like mine is Alan. Blog Talk Radio / Alan Levy, hit subscribe now, select iTunes, and boom, that the podcast sits right in your iTunes directory. So that's fine. Let's also talk about advertising a little, because I know that's been an issue that has been...
I'm getting that question more and more.
Yeah, so let's... It was included on this. And Bob, why don't you talk about what we're doing? We hired somebody. Why don't you go over the advertising?
Well, we actually just hired a fellow by the name of Aaron Green. And for all those out there, if you didn't read the email today, his email address is agreen, that's A-G-R-E-E-N, at blogtalkradio.com. And what he's here for is to actually start coordinating the entire advertising program on our end and with the hosts. And, you know, the first thing is actually started working on putting together are media kits, which we will not only create for Blog Talk Radio as a platform, but we'll also create media kits for individual hosts so that they can, so number one, we can highlight our hosts individually, and that's obviously how, you know, advertisers would want to be able to buy advertising, you know, on the site and sponsor particular hosts or particular genres, but that the hosts themselves can also go out and present it to, you know, people that they have relationships with as part of businesses that might want to actually sponsor or advertise on their show. Initially, we're actually going, you know, the way I think we're going to target it is as a, you know, offer it as a sponsorship for a particular host, and that will give them a, you know, ad, a banner ad on the host channel page. And like, you know, our basic premise is we split that with the hosts, so there's an incentive for the host themselves to, you know, try to find it, get an advertiser as well. And that advertiser will be the sponsor of that show. We'll probably sell it in either weekly or monthly time slots, you know, depending on the host, depending on the number of listeners, the number of downloads, the number, you know, of page views to their site. Obviously, the higher those numbers, you know, the higher premium we'll be able to get for those advertisers. So Aaron's starting off to create the media kits, trying, you know, starting to put together the critical information that we'll need to, you know, show the advertisers to, you know, to justify them spending money and sponsoring, you know, sponsoring shows. It gets a lot more integrated, and I think, you know, we'll get a much higher, you know, CPM or a much higher sponsorship from advertisers once we roll out the media player, and that's something which I think we should mention as well.
Yes,
we're working on pretty feverishly.
Why don't you mention what we're doing? Well, there's two types of media players, right? One
yes.
for the host channel, and then another one for the what's going to be on the host's
well, one,
blog.
One, right. One will actually be on the host channel itself. So if you noticed in the last week, and I know we've gotten a lot of emails from different hosts about it, we used to have that if you came to a host channel page when a show was live, it automatically kicked off Windows Media Player, and people were the issue, the challenge was that people had pop-up blockers, so it wasn't popping up, and they weren't sure how to actually get to listen to the show. So we removed the pop-up player, and we were hoping that we'd be able to get an embedded player, and that means, you know, the player is actually in the page, so you see it, nothing pops up. But we're unfortunately running into some issues with that. We're still working through them, and hopefully we'll have it out soon. But what that will be is a player in the actual host channel page. So when someone comes to the host channel page, if the show is live, it will start playing the live show immediately. And if they go to the want to listen, if the show is not live, they'll go to the archive segments and it will play. They can play any one of the, you know, archive segments by just clicking on the play buttons that exist there now. It will just start playing it in the actual embedded player. So, you know, that accomplishes a couple things, we think. Number one, eliminates the pop-up. It also makes it very clear, you know, how to listen to a show. The user, if it's live, won't even have to press any buttons. But just coming to the host page, if the show is live, it will automatically start playing the live show. So that should increase, you know, your number of live listeners as well. And we know that's been, you know, some hosts have mentioned that people come to the page that have some difficulty, you know, finding out how to actually listen to the show. But that's, you know, that's the first player. The other player we're actually working on will basically be some code which you'll be able to put into your email. You'll be able to put it on your MySpace page. You'll be able to put it on your blog, on your website, wherever you'd like. And that will be a Flash-based player, and therefore it can be used whether on a Mac or on a PC. And you'll be able to select, you know, to either play your last show or to have a playlist, and it will go through, you know, show by show. So you can go through your last show and then the show before that and so on.
What a great idea.
And what, Amy, one thing, you know, you mentioned earlier about hosts promoting with buttons. I mean, this sort of becomes a live button. So
right.
You put that on your site. It doesn't require someone to click and then come back to the page and then click again to actually listen to the show. You know, right there on your site, they actually could start playing the show.
Not the live show, though.
Not the right. This will be for archived, for past shows. Live shows, again, only available on the actual host channel.
Wow.
So, you know, we think the second thing will really allow people to also email out shows. So if I was listening, you know, to Alan's show as a listener and I liked, and I thought it was interesting and I had a friend that I thought would be interested in it, I'd be able to email them a link, you know, and the player would actually can come in the email and they can press on it and, you know, press on a button to be able to listen to the show right there. So we think that will really not only allow hosts to further promote the show, but also allow listeners to promote the shows that they like, to people that they know interested in that particular genre.
Yeah, it's similar to YouTube in that's how YouTube has grown the number of downloads every day, because those YouTube players, of course, are embedded into people's blogs, MySpace pages, and so on, and that's what we're talking about here. I mean, what's really unique about this is that because MySpace allows you to play a song or an audio file, rather than play the audio file, you can play your show on your MySpace page.
Yeah, a big thing on MySpace is they pass around the bulletins with the YouTube stuff in it. They can just pass around the player in the bulletins, which is good too.
Yeah. So those are some of the enhancements that we've been going through. And, I know, Amy, you've been dealing with a lot of different shows, right? I mean, you've got how many different shows are running through the Blue Doodle and
we have Stage Left, which is music interviews, which got so busy we had to create Stage Right. We actually had a record company approach Stage Left today to interview all their people. So we went through national publicity first. We have all their people, and then the record company emailed them today, and they wanted them to do all their people. So that show, they heard about it. They heard about the show. So I think that's tremendous. We have the Word Speak Network, which is a poetry network. It's for poets. They
yeah.
can do live readings, spoken word artists, so on and so forth. We have Between the Covers with Deb Leeson. She interviews authors. We have the Caffeine IV, which is my ramblings sometimes in the mornings.
You need to ramble. I know that.
We have the Dalectomy Show, which is coming back. Dale actually had a heart attack. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had a heart attack. He had some angioplasty 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, he will be back on the air. He actually instant messaged me a little while ago saying we need to start planning his comeback show.
Well, you have to get me in on that one.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
yeah, he's a great guy.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on, and we have a few more. And I just
And what about David Leeson?
David Leeson. I've been friends with David Leeson for about a year and a half now, and he is he's an amazing writer, an amazing photographer, and he's doing Blog Talk Radio now. He started last week, and he is in love with it.
He did.
In love with it. I was talking to his sister a little while ago, and he just can't say enough about it. He blogged about it today. He's been writing a blog about the creative process of his photography. He does these portraits. And he's been writing about it for about a year now, trying to teach people the process of what he goes through. And this has given him the voice that he's always wanted. He is so excited about it. He's the senior editor for the Dallas Morning News.
Yes, that's what he is.
Video editor for the Dallas Morning News. I can't remember.
I think he's senior editor.
Yeah, Dallas Morning News. And he's a Pulitzer Prize winner.
Yeah.
And he loves Blog Talk Radio. Loves it.
Well, he's going to be my guest on November 19th. Maybe you'll hop on for a bit that
day. Yeah, he'll have a lot to say. He's a great guy.
And we met with another guy today, Joel Keller, right? He's a journalist.
Oh, yeah, Joel. He's something else. I've read a few of his pieces.
Yeah, and he writes. This is a journalist, and he writes for the New York Times. He writes for other publications.
The Washington Post, the New York Times. I think New Jersey Today, I think it's called?
Yeah,
and
right.
Some food magazine. I want to say Bon Appetit, but I'm not quite
yeah.
sure. Then he has the AOL thing that he does every day, too, TV
yeah.
talk or something like that.
You know what's been interesting? I've been having a lot of interviews. I think in the coming days, next week, there's probably going to be 3 or 4 articles written about us. One is in Las Vegas Journal, which is syndicated to like 13 newspapers in the country.
Wow.
And then the Investor Business Daily, I did an interview with them. Mm-hmm. And I've been doing a lot of interviews. And, of course, next week we've got TechCrunch Party and the piece we did in .net in the UK is coming out on the 13th. But the feedback that I've been getting from, we live with this every day, and we find this fascinating, but it's the feedback from these independent people that are that I'm talking to.
Absolutely.
That hear a million stories a year, right? I mean, everyone's got a story. Everyone has the next great thing, but they're fascinated by this.
I love the one you're talking to, since I listened to you talk to Joe Keller today. It was a process. It was about 20 minutes of him trying to wrap his brain around the idea that this was this simple. And then he finally got it and went, wow, 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 you know. And people, I think people have a hard time understanding it, because it is so simple. They expect it to be harder than it is, and it's not hard. It's a telephone and a computer.
Well, the reason why is because people, first of all, they know what radio is, and they understand that, and talk radio. Okay, so our platform is like talk radio. But what people don't understand is this podcasting space in the industry, and podcasting, as I've blogged about and we've spoken about, it's just a very difficult thing. It's very expensive. The podcasting industry, they require you to buy digital recording equipment.
That's the question I get. What kind of equipment do I need to
Right.
Buy?
Yeah. You know. So I say go to Radio Shack and you can go get that GT phone for $29.99. That should work just fine.
Yeah, or the phone you have in your house already.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, what's funny is it's just putting together radio with podcasting, with, you know, internet streaming. I mean, and that's what, you know, Blog Talk Radio is. And it's
yep.
putting it all together, and that's really...
Yep.
Yeah.
Amazing.
So you know that. So that's been what's fascinating about it. You know, the people. You know, it's early and new, and it's just evolving, and we've got lots of things that are going on, and we will have problems. I mean, we had a little problem tonight. We had a server down. You know, we've got to understand why.
All websites have problems.
I know.
My goes down 3 times a week. You know, you guys don't do that, but
no.
I think people should understand that. You know, it's the internet. Internet is. Yeah.
Right. So we decided that when we have these problems, we're just going to refund 50% of the charge that we charge everyone. And so that's
you'll be writing blank
Bob, what do you
checks
think?
All day, right?
Bob, what
yeah,
do you think?
I mean, I think so. It sounds like a pretty good deal to me.
Exactly. You know, it happens to be, I have to say, you know, we've been in other businesses, and we've been in the telecom business, and you charge someone $49.99 a month or 50 or whatever, and you have an outage. You feel compelled to give them money back.
Uh-huh.
You know, again, I don't want to lose credibility, and we're a new site, and we're growing very rapidly, and we're bringing on tons of content and tons of show. But you know, we're offering a lot of value for nothing. I mean, we don't
yeah.
charge; it's
Absolutely.
Free.
And we've been fortunate enough to be able to be on it in the beginning and help get this all
yeah.
evolved to what it's going to become. You know, your first time hosts are we're testers basically.
No question.
And in the end, it's going to be, wow, you're going to look back and look at those hosts and say, thank you, you know, for helping us bring
Well, I wonder where we were the cool kids, right, Bob? Remember they were
yeah,
doing your
yeah.
show a day?
Every night for 2 hours.
Three guys and a girl?
Yeah. Yep.
Well, that became, the first was We Were the Cool Kids, and
yeah.
then it became Three Guys and a Girl. And then they had the, what's his name, the gay guy, Brandon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So he was on, and so anyway, we got a call here. It's maybe hello, you're on 864.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great, I was listening to your show.
Great, what's your name?
My name's Barry, and your show sucks, and you suck, and your head looks like a big cantaloupe. You suck.
Oh, so you're a real fan of the show. Oh, okay.
Well, if we're getting those type of calls, we know we must have made it. I mean, you know.
Exactly.
I love hate mail and stuff
I mean,
like that because you know you've made it when you get
there. Right. I'm saying, you know, if someone's going to take the time out to actually make a call like that.
Well, Bob, you have the guy's number, right?
Well, the guy will find out, I guess.
I think you have his call. I think, you know, that's the great thing about it. We've got the caller ID here. So, well, I guess we don't have to shut down his host account.
Yeah, well, look, you know, we've had these characters from the beginning.
I think he's the stalker that, you know, you're right, that's true. You know I've made it big when I'm getting people, like, prank calls into the show. Hey, at least we got one listener.
You know somebody's listening.
Yeah, I know I do suck. I know it's just an
yeah.
awful platform. And,
yeah,
and
it's horrible.
You know what? You know what? Actually, I think we should just let's shut the thing down. I think he's right. I think he's right. I think we just don't give enough value away. Anyway, that was good. But Marseille, actually, I thought that may have been her call because this lady has such trouble. Smoking Joe and the Hottie.
I have to call her. I'm gonna call.
Yeah,
her.
Because she was on, and then all of a sudden the server went down, and then she didn't know what to do, and she stayed on the show, but the dashboard blew, you know,
yeah.
So she couldn't see calls coming in. But we'll give her a call anyway.
Deb Leeson called into that show.
Yes, right.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. I have to call her. She emailed me a little while ago, but I'll take care of that.
So very good. That was very enlightening. What do you say about my head as a cantaloupe or something? I didn't get that last part.
Yeah, your head's a cantaloupe.
Oh, a cantaloupe.
You can ask the bakers to slim it down.
Yeah, okay. It feels like a cantaloupe after watching this screen for 14 hours a day, I'll tell you that. So, but anyway, why don't we wrap it up? We'll wrap it up now. I want to thank my guest tonight was Carell, and Amy and Bob, thank you for doing it. And I think we should do this a little more, Bob. I think we should come on and just talk, and, you know, we'll get more and more people engaged, and we're having tons of new stuff coming up, and I think it's good if you explain it to people. And if they don't listen to it live, we'll have it on my host channel so you can listen to this show and learn more about what's going on Blog Talk Radio.
So when I get all the phone calls and emails this week with the questions, I'll just refer back to this show.
Exactly.
Right, you can say, listen to the show.
I think what we'll do is we'll maybe set up a separate little we'll split the show in half. We'll have one show is kind of update on what's going on the other show on Carell's show.
That's a great idea.
Great. All right, guys. Well, have a good night. Thank you for joining me.
All right, take care. Good night.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
And this was Alan Levy's show on Blog Talk Radio, and I want to thank everyone for joining me. And I'm really interested to know who called. Real big fan of mine, I could tell. Real big fan of the show. You know, it's quite interesting that we've got hecklers and other people calling, but, you know, look, we'll keep doing the best we're doing, having a good time, and I want to thank all of you for joining me. Until Monday night, I've got Mike Arrington on, and looking forward to that show, and I hope you all do as well. Have a good night.